Samuel is the book today. You say, Pastor, you just spent how many months on the book of 1 Samuel? And that's right. So today I'm going to be reminding you of some things that that we've gone over. But to help you understand it as a whole capsule, we want you to, at the end of the series, which I know is still over 40 weeks away, we want you to look at the Bible, how it works together as a whole picture. We talked about the beginning in the book of Genesis, how we learn where God's created us. We learn why we are what we are and how we are the way we are. And we learn how God has pulled himself a nation out and how he began a nation with Abraham. And the whole story is about that nation, but not about that nation, but the fact that the Savior is coming through that nation. To learn how we see the Savior brought all the way through the Old Testament, all the way to the cross, which we're going to be talking about this morning in the worship service, and all the way till the future events. So it's a wonderful idea to see how the Bible all works together. Now, the book of 1 Samuel is a transitional book, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And the key verses that we find here is when the nation that God chose, that God began when he called Abraham out, has said, we no longer want God to be our king. We no longer want God to rule over us. And because of that, God, he adapts. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about, how God adapts and how God changes things and helps, doesn't change the fact that he's bringing the Savior like he promised through the nation, but how he adapts to it. And I think we'll see that. I think you'll enjoy that this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 8. We're going to look at verses 7 through 9. In a little while, we're going to look through at the whole passage of Scripture. The nation comes to Samuel, who was the judge at the time, and says, Samuel, we no longer want to have judges. We no longer want God to be the ruler of us. Instead, we want to have a king, and we want to be like everybody else. And we see God's response. Samuel obviously is displeased by this because Samuel was the judge at the time. And he goes and he prays to the Lord. And once again, that's a good thing to do. You get discouraged, you get defeated. Do you give in? Do you throw in the towel? No, you go to the Lord and the Lord can help you. Let's see what it says in verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. He says, go ahead and give the people their way. He says, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. Now, this is an important thing. I think it's good if you have not underlined this thought in your Bible. It's something that's good to understand and take with you. For they have not rejected me, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Anytime someone you give the gospel out to, anytime you do your part, they're not rejecting you. Now, they might take it out on you, like Samuel, I'm sure, feels like he's being taken out on, but they're not rejecting you as an individual. Instead, they're rejecting God himself. That I should not reign over them. That was the problem. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. According to the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. This was not God's plan, but God allows this to happen. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them. He's saying, look, make them understand what it's going to be like when they get a king. And show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we look at this book in 1 Samuel. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray you help us today. I pray you help the services to follow, Lord. I pray you just calm our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us focus. Help us see how the Bible works together as a completed unit. And Lord, how you're teaching and showing and telling the story where Jesus came from, the nation that you started to bring the Savior into the world. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've learned that the Bible is transitional. We've seen how it's gone from story to story. We learn about in the book of Judges. What do we see in the book of Judges? There's political chaos. There's a spiritual apostasy. And what does that do? That causes a nation to deteriorate. And we showed you the illustration how that compares to America today. In the book of Judges, what was supposed to happen was God was supposed to be their ruler. He started this nation when he called Abraham out. He started this nation. And what his intention, his purpose was to take them to the promised land. Give them the promised land and rule over this nation. Why would he do that? And we learned that in the book of Exodus. He gave them a great testimony, but the testimony was not just for themselves. He wanted to tell all the other nations around them the benefits of serving God. And then we learned about how they can be rightly related in the book of Leviticus. We saw in Numbers how God was patient with them, but still had to punish them. And in the book of Deuteronomy, we learned how it was supposed to love the Lord because he loved us. And then we saw in the book of Judges that when they finally got in the land, that they turned away from God. And then during the book of Ruth, what did we see? That despite the wickedness of the day, there was two people, at least two people, living for God. And God used them and brought them together. One was a Moabitess and Ruth. And we talked about Boaz. We learned that. And then we see here in 1 Samuel, there's another change on the horizon. Here we see in 1 Samuel, it's a transition. We see Israel going from the theocracy, the way that God intended it to be done. God wanted to be their ruler, wanted to be their leader, and it went into a monarchy. And we see that from God as their king to man being their king. And that's in the world that we live in today, it would seem confusing. Why? How in the world can God be our king? How in the world can God lead us? How can God take care of all these different situations? But you saw in the book of Exodus, and you saw in the book of Leviticus and Numbers that God fought their battles for them. They would have been just fine if they would have done things God's way. And that's, you know, how do we apply that to our lives today? I don't see how God can take care of me. I don't see how God can do this and how God can do that. We will be just fine if we will learn to trust in God himself. It says theocracy, God rules and tells them what to do. And God fights the battle for them, as we saw in Exodus all the way up to Numbers. When they came out of Egypt, they were a theocracy. God fought their battles. The whole idea was for God to be their king. But what happens? The nation rejects this. And we see that in the book of Judges, they acted like there was no king. Remember how it said that there was no king in the land? Every man did what was right in their own eyes? It's because they rejected God as their king. And this causes the religious apostasy, the political chaos, and the nation to deteriorate. We see it's, and this is where it's at in 1 Samuel. There is a deteriorating nation. No one is seeking God. No one is hearing from God for the most part. We've seen in 1 Samuel 2, it gives that idea. It says that there's no open vision. That means that God has not been talking to the people because of the wickedness. Why do the people want the change? You see in the story, 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Look in verse number 5. It says, And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Israel did not want to be this special nation. They looked around. They saw all the apostasy. They saw all the other things that were going on. Like we learned in the book of Judges, they lived amongst this wickedness. Did they have to live amongst this wickedness? No. If they would have done what God told them to and got rid of all the Canaanites, got rid of all those idol worshipers, got rid of all those people, and we dealt with that in the book of Judges, then they would not have to live like that. But because they live out like that and live amongst that, they begin to become what? They begin to become used to it. And when they become used to it, they become sympathetic towards it. Oh, maybe they are right. Maybe there is nothing wrong. Maybe there is more than one God. And then what happens is a complete change. And it's the same thing that we do when we allow sin in our lives and when we spend time with those who reject God. Well, maybe we should be a little bit more understanding. Maybe we got to believe the Bible is the truth and the Bible is the word of God. This is how we need to live our lives. But we see why the people wanted to change. First of all, they rejected God. They couldn't live like this because of the fact they had rejected God. They did not want God to rule over them. They made up excuses. Verses 1 through 5, the people come to Samuel and says, Hey, look, Samuel, you made your two sons, your sons, judges over us. They're not like you are. So because of that, let's change everything. Samuel, and you see what it says in verse number 5? He says, Behold, thou art old. They make up excuses. And when you do not want to serve God, you will make up excuses why it's okay to change. God brought them out of the land of Egypt. God made them a nation. God gave them the laws. God gave them everything they needed to survive and to excel. He even gave them a land. But they want to change everything, and they made up excuses. They were waiting for this moment. They couldn't go against Samuel. Samuel had done what was right. Samuel makes a mistake by letting his sons be in charge, and his sons are crooked. They do things that are wrong. You know what happens? They come to him and says, Look, you're too old. You can't keep on doing this. Give us a king. And here we see the next thing is they want to be like everybody else. Isn't that one of the main reasons why an old-time, independent, fundamental Baptist churches are no longer popular today? You can say it's because of this or because of that. It's because they want to be like everybody else. They want to be like the world. They want to act like the world. They want to have the world's music. They want to have the world's philosophies. They want to have the world. They want to change the Bible. They want to be like everybody else. And that's why I'm not saying that in every single other church, but I'm just saying that you see the changes that are happening in churches today is because they want to be like the world. They want to do the things the world does. But this is very sad. Think about this. God brought this nation out for a purpose, for a reason. The whole idea of God making them a nation was what? It was so that they could be like all the other, unlike all the other nations. See, God, there was all these other nations already in the world. God wanted to start his own nation to be able to bring the Savior through, and they were supposed to be unlike everyone else. And this is what we miss so often in our Christian lives. When we want to be like the world, we want to be, God has saved us and took us out of the world so we don't have to be like the world. And Israel misses the whole point. They reject God. They make up excuses. They want to be like everybody else, but not like all the other nations, because all the other nations had false religions. All the other nations had a man who sat on the throne and called the shots. But Israel was to be different. God was supposed to be their king, and God was supposed to call their shots. And we missed the whole purpose. We missed the whole purpose why God saves us. I know it's to save us from hell. I get that. We want our souls. But he saves us and keeps us here for a reason. And that reason is to glorify him and to make something of ourselves that's going to bring honor and glory to him and his name. And the nation Israel was the whole purpose why they were there. Not to be like everybody else. But you know what? They rejected. They said, look, give us what everybody else has. And that's what we want. And that's what so many people struggle with today. They want to have the world and they want to have God at the same time. And that's where we struggle. And that's where many people make it. They allow sin in their lives. They become accustomed to it. And then they begin to change. So I think it's careful. We need to be careful. Understand, it's very sad because the whole purpose why the nation was made this way was what we talked about. Give them a testimony and let all the rest of the world see the benefits of serving God. But they reject it. They say no to it. Next thing I want you to see is some more reasons why the people wanted to change. Living in a time of judges brought religious apostasy, social chaos, national deterioration, ultimately the rejection of God. Yeah, Solomon writes it a couple of different times. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
That's right.
This gets to the whole root of the matter. Are we going to live biblical lives, or are we going to live lives according to what our heart tells us? And I know our heart, it's ours. We're used to it. There are our feelings. There are emotions. It's our flesh. But that's thankful that why God says that our heart is deceitful. And the Bible tells us that it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't. That's why we got to reject sometimes what our feelings are and instead base it off what God tells us in his word. The devil is always there to offer you an alternative path to the one God offers. The devil, he's good at it. I mean, you think about the Jonah, you know, where was he supposed to go? Nineveh. He walks down to where they had the ships at. Where's the ship going? It's going to Tarshish, the right other way. You know, there's always something the devil will offer you. And this is what idolatry is all about. We need something to worship. We need something to lift up, whether it be ourselves, whether it be our children, whether it be our social status, whether it be our job. We all need something that we look up to. That's the type of creature we were made. We are made to worship something, and we are made to worship God. And this is what idolatry is all about. Every idol is a witness to man's need for God. Why in the world were all those other nations worshiping Baal and sacrificing their kids? Why? They needed something to hold on to. They needed some type of, and the lack of God creates a necessity to place something in its place. You will find something in your life to worship if you do not worship God. You will find something. And that's what happens in the nation of Israel. How could they walk away from the God that took them out of Israel, took them out of Egypt, fed them manna, parted the Jordan rivers, parted the Red Sea, knocked down the walls of Jericho? And they replaced them. Because they have to worship something. And that is what happens. The only thing they could think of, the last thing was, let's replace God with a man. And that's what happens. You see, it goes from being a theocracy in 1 Samuel to becoming a monarchy. And this brings us to the permanent value. Permanent value is something that is an eternal value, is always truth. And it's, you find it on your little piece of paper there. It says, God sometimes has to adapt in order to advance. Now, before we get there, before we explain this, I don't want anybody to say, well, you're calling God a compromiser. No, I'm not calling God a compromiser. I'm saying that God loves his people and wants to work with his people, that sometimes when people reject God's best, God still adapts to his perfect plan. God knew it was going to happen already. God knew that, well, you think about back in the beginning, Garden Eden, Adam and Eve, were they supposed to sin? No. They were supposed to be, and they were supposed to live in that garden. They sinned. They got kicked out. So what did God do? He adapted to originally what he wanted to done. Did God know it was going to happen? Yes. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever laid. God knew that men was going to sin. God knew men was going to reject. God knew all these things. But God does not mean that's the way God intended it to be. It does not mean. And then he wanted the theocracy. The people reject him. And he adapts his purpose and he adapts his plan in order to advance. Because the people rejected him, did that mean that they're no longer going to be a savior? No, God's plan is always going to work through. And that's why we got to keep this in our mind. God's plan is going to keep on coming through. And as we're looking at this, we're coming through and we're seeing here that God's still going to be working. Let me explain. It's one thing to reject God. And people can do that. That's their choice. That's what the nation of Israel does. But it's a whole other thing to overthrow God. You're not going to be able to overthrow God. You might reject it. You might walk away from God's best. But God will then begin to adapt with you. Mr. Chambers, could you turn that heat down just a hair bit, please? What did God want? He wanted a nation to show the world the benefits of serving God. That's what he wanted. That's what he desired. That's what he brought them out so everyone could see. God did this. God brought them out of Egypt. They all heard the stories. God did all these things. But this nation rejects God as their king. Now, could he just zapped the nation and started all over? He even talked about doing that with Moses, didn't he? He says, look, Moses, get out of the way. Let me go ahead and destroy all the people. I'll start up a brand new nation with you. But Moses stood in the gap there. And it was as the idea here. We need to see that God is adapting his purpose and using three main characters to tell the story. So I want you to understand this. In the book of 1 Samuel, it's a transition. It's not what God's purpose and plan was. But he's adapting so he can further advance his cause. God is still calling the shots. God still plans on bringing the Savior through this nation in spite of the rejection of him. But God still uses the people. So I don't want you to think that God had to do it this way. God does this out of a love for us. I mean, could he have just gotten rid of Adam and Eve and tried it over and kept on trying until he had the perfect people stay in the garden that would resist the devil? God could do anything. But he adapts to it because he wants to do his plan with the world. Couple things I want you to see. First, the three main characters is Samuel, Saul, and David. We see God adapting his purpose through the life of Samuel. Things change. He adapts to the way things are going to be done. God has never been without a witness. We talked about that last week. No matter how things got dark, God has always had a witness. Sometimes it might have been a little bit of a light, but there was always a witness. Israel was in a mess, but they had Ruth and Boaz that was living for God. In the same period, there was another godly woman, and God uses this woman. It doesn't matter how dark the day is, God will bless someone who is faithful. I mean, we compare judges to America today. We're living in the days of the judges again because of the way our nation is deteriorating in front of us. But God can and God will still bless the person who is faithful. She is an important part of what's going on here. We all know her name. Her name is Hannah. And she is praying for a child. She actually, if we went back and you go all the way back into the sermons and talk about the prayer of Hannah, she was asking for a deliverer. She wanted to finish the work that Samson fell out on. He didn't finish. And God blesses her with a son. And that son becomes a prophet. Samuel was the last of the judges. And we talked about how God would raise up deliverers. But also, Samuel was the first prophet to the nation of Israel. Where do you see that? That's found in the book of Acts. Now, Moses is also remarked to as a prophet, but here as a nation of Israel in this type of form that we're going to see with the kings, this is the first one that we see here. God adapted by using men, by calling them to be prophets. These prophets would deliver his message and his warnings and instructions to his people. They became the voice of God. The kings never were used as mediators between God and men. The prophets now is beginning with Samuel. Now here, you're going to see this. It's going to come, and as we talk about the different books, there's going to be prophets and there's going to be kings. What was there before? There was a leader, Joshua, Moses, and then the judges, and a high priest would act on behalf of God and his voice. No longer is the priesthood. No longer, now is the prophets are going to deliver the message. Are there still priests? Yes, but the priests no longer have the message from the Lord. Do you see that? Some of the things, because you see the wickedness in the priesthood, like you saw with Eli in the story of 1 Samuel, but we don't have time for that. We see God adapting his purpose through the life of Samuel. The prophet emerges as the authoritative voice of God. As through Samuel, God worked to find Israel's kings. Now, who anointed Saul? Samuel did. Who anointed David? Samuel did. This is how God works. Many times, they would come and they would anoint the king if it was someone outside the family, because God was talking to them, God was speaking to them about what was supposed to be done. The office of the prophet. Now, I want you to get this. The office of the prophet is more important than the office of the king. So that doesn't make any sense. It does, because they're the one that has the ears of God. They're the ones that deliver the message. The king has great authority, but the position of the prophet is a valuable one. When God had a message for his people, he's not going to use the king to deliver it. He's going to use the prophet to deliver his message. The big picture is, when the people rejected God, God adapted his economy. God adapted, changed the way he did things. He took a woman of faith. He blessed her with a child. He trained that child, and then he used that child to deliver his message to his people. Now, where was God during the whole time of the judges? He was training a young man like Samuel. Where was God during the time of the judges? He had men like Boaz and Ruth that he could use. Where is God in America today? You know, people ask that question when they had all those kids that got shot. You know, we cannot continue to reject God as a nation and keep on blaming our problems on God at the same time. Yes, and that's what they're trying to do. And that's what, you know, judges, they got themselves in this own mess, but the whole entire time, what's God doing? He's taking individuals, he's training them, and he's using them. And I think it's important we realize, and what we need to move quickly here, we see God also adapting his purpose through the life of Saul. Now, let's see here. It's supposed to be the next one. There you go. Now, the life of Saul. Now, Saul is a Benjaminite. And you learn that back in the books earlier, the Savior is supposed to come through Judah. He's not supposed to come through the line of the tribe of Benjamin. And so the wrong man is on the throne. This is not God's intention, but God is teaching his people. God is giving his people exactly what they want. They want the king like everybody else. They want the biggest, the brightest, the most intelligent, or whatever. But see here, that's what God does. The story of King Saul is a story of tragedy. God answered the heart's desire of the people. They wanted a king, and God gave them the king. God did not give them a godly king like we would expect. Instead, he gave them a man just like them. That's the problem here. God just gave them what was in the people's heart. A king just as worldly as they were. And this is what happens when God allows us to have things in our lives that he does not want. Sometimes you can push God and say, God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. And we live our lives. God sometimes, you see, and he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. He gave Israel exactly what they wanted. But what happened was they had to pay a price because they no longer were living in God's perfect plan. And you're going to see what happens. And many of us experience this truth. Our nation is experiencing this truth. We've gotten exactly what we've asked for as a nation completely. If you look at Saul, you see the reflection of Israel's spiritual condition. If you look at America today and our leaders today, you will see a reflection of America's spiritual condition. And you say, I don't like that. Well, you know what? Be honest with you, this is what's happening. You look at our leaders today, from president down, and they are a reflection of the spiritual condition of America today. That's the reason why we have things as abortion. That's the reason why they're trying to push gay marriage. That's the reason why they're doing these other things. It's the spiritual condition. You say, Pastor, you got all these churches and all these people. A lot of these are apostates. A lot of these are not teaching the truth. A lot of these churches are not standing for the truth. And I'm not talking about all of them. But there's a lot of cults in this America today that is just trying to run America. Yes. And I tell you, this is the spiritual condition. This is what happened. God gave them exactly what they wanted. They wanted to, you know, America wants to live for themselves. America wants to live without God. America wants this. America wants that. You know, once again, Israel wanted to have God and the world both. And God's saying, look, you can't have both. You get one or the other. And that's what happens here. He gives them exactly what he knew was in their heart. And Saul is a picture of what Israel was. Now, does Israel like what they get in Saul? No, they do not like what they get in Saul. Now, do we like what we get in our leaders sometimes? No, most of America is fed up with the Republicans, the Democrats, the independents. They're fed up with all of them. But you know why the problem is? It's what's in their heart. This is where it's coming to. God will give you what you want many times, but it's going to bring leanness to you. And you got to understand, this is what he's teaching the nation of Israel. Okay, you didn't believe me through all those judges. You want a king? Let me show you what a king is going to do. And King Saul ends up being a madman. Ultimately, outwardly, Saul was physically strong. He was very intelligent. Yet he was moody. He soon became depressed and he became a madman. Isn't that true about a lot of emperors and kings over the years? Many times they are people who are peculiar and who are just become odd and become madmen. We think of Nero. We think of some of the other ones. He was so devoid of spirituality, he turned his back on God and he turned to a witch. He was a revelation to the people of what the possession of a king like all the other nations really meant. And those nations back then, they worshipped those false gods. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, we talked about in the book of Daniel, had all those astrologers, had all those people. His reign was one of confusion and cowardice. He was a coward. He wouldn't fight Goliath. And what does he do with David? He tries to chase David around with how many thousands of men? He didn't do the things he needed to do. But what the people got, what they wanted, a king after their own hearts. He reflected the people. That is God adapting. Is that what God wanted for his people? Is that what God pulled Abraham out to do? Is that what God brought them out of Egypt to do? Is that what God desired from all these things? No. God wanted to show the rest of the world how he could bless them and people would just come and worship him and serve him. And Christian, this is what God wants for us. But why is the problem? It's because we want to live to ourselves. Now, we see here that God adapted his purpose through the life of David, and we need to go quickly. We see God advancing his plan and his purpose in spite of the people he had to work with. He shows them Saul that their plan did not work. Once again, he gives them a king, but this time he gives them a man after his own heart. The king of God's choosing was a shepherd. It was completely different. No one would have chose him. No one, even his own dad brought in all the other sons who were supposed to be king. Oh, leave David out there. There's no way anybody's going to want him. They overlooked him, but this is the man God chooses. God was taking his man, he was training him, and he was preparing him, just like God took Samuel and prepared him for the task ahead. We also see David as a teenager. God would speak to his heart. He would write the Psalms. As a teenager, God taught him to trust in him as a shepherd. He learned how to love his people. In the palace, he watched everything that was going on and learned about running a nation. As an outlaw running from Saul, he learned to trust God for his safety and protection. He would need all this knowledge to be. It's amazing how God takes a person and is able to train him and let him go through things. And if God, you let God teach you and work you through certain things, you know what's going to happen in the end? You're going to become a vessel God can use. That's what David was. You know, was it fun to be the shepherd boy? Was it fun, the one not going to battle? Was it fun to be the one that's running from Saul? Was it fun, after killing Goliath, to be a harp player for the king? No. But God was teaching and training him all along. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes he lets us go through things, and sometimes we have to adapt. What is God doing? God is remaking the kingdom. While the nation was going to pieces with the king that was around them at their own heart, the kingdom itself was being prepared for renewal through disaster. And I wonder if the Lord does tarry, maybe if we can pray that the Lord is going to allow that to happen in our nation too.
Yes, sir.
That God can renew and God can revive our nations and God can send revival.
Yes.
But as many times it's going to have to come through disaster. It's going to have to come through hardships and hard times before the people will ever realize and accept a godly leader. Could be that America is going through the same thing today. We should not be surprised at what's happening in this country. God is not surprised. God knows what's going on. God is in control. Now we see a generation that has no knowledge of God. You know, it's amazing if you hear the stories, you see the stats of today about people who truly love God. These children do not really know much about God. It's been taken out of their schools. It's been taken out of their homes. And no longer do we have generations that understand or know what it's like to go to church. I know some of you had to dismiss, and we'll finish up here quickly. Now, God knows what he's doing. Now, we like to say amen when we hear that. God knows what he's doing, but sometimes it's hard for us to see that. And here, adapting because of the hardness of God's people's hearts to ultimately fulfill his purpose and his plan. It's what God's doing. You think about it this way. And I know I mentioned it earlier. You know, where is God? During the days of Judges, he was preparing people like Ruth, Boaz, Samuel, Hannah. During the days of Saul, he was preparing a man like David. This is all preparing and leading up to the day of the Antichrist. We all know what the book of Revelation says. The world is going to turn away from God, and God's going to call his people out. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. One day, sooner or later, wickedness is going to get over. Is it going to get worse? Yes, it's going to get even worse. And that's what we got to understand is God is all in control. Is it the way God intentionally originated to be? No. Back in that garden, God did not want all this to happen. Did God know? Yes. But God adapted his plan so he can still bring his son. Saul was the wrong man on the throne. God took him off the throne. And someday, God will see the Antichrist. Someday, God will look down. Guess like he looked down and saw Saul and said, hey, look, that's a Benjaminite. That's a man after the people's heart. That's not my king. He took him off the throne and put David on the throne, who was a man after his own heart. Same thing. Someday he'll look down and see the Antichrist sitting on the throne like it talks about in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelations, and God will send his son to sit on the eternal throne forever. We got to remember this. God is in complete control of all this, and he is still working. So what's the living truth today? We can trust in God. If we could trust in God back then, and see what God was doing and see how God was working, how God took them out of the time of the judges, all the wickedness, God was preparing individuals and people. We should learn to trust God so we can be prepared to be used like the Ruth and the Boazes and the Davids and the Samuels and the Hannahs. You know, we can live right in an ungodly world. You can do it. God knew and saw everything that was going on, and he adapted to make sure his will and his plan would be accomplished. His plan was fulfilled, and his future plan will also be fulfilled. Christian, how do we apply this today? We can trust in him. We need to learn to live for him today. I know all around us, we turn around, look around, and see all the craziness and all the wickedness and say, where in the world is God? He's still in the same place. But people choose to reject him. People and nations choose to forget him. And he is just adapting his purpose for the day he is going to accomplish everything he said he was going to accomplish. Say, how do you see that? You saw it happen in the first thousands of years when it came all the way to that moment in time when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He brought him all the way through that line. It's kind of neat that we saw how Ruth and Boaz connected the line of Judah with the line of David and how that worked all together and how we can see and trace Jesus Christ all the way back there. And the whole world was looking forward to that day when he died on the cross. And now they're looking for the day when he's going to return. Now, Christian, 1 Samuel is a transitional book. It teaches us that God adapts his plan. God did not intend the nation of Israel to end up like this. God did not intend for the nation of America to end up like the way we are. So what do? Throw up our hands? Do we be like the people, the judges, and we get used to sin? We compromise? We become more lenient towards it and become like them? Or do we be like the Ruth and the Boazes of the day? Or do we be like the Samuels and the Hannahs of the day? Let God train us and teach us. Their lives was difficult. Hannah couldn't have kids, and that was her only heart desire. Samuel, you know, he had to raise up with Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. You know, the people hated coming to the temple. People hated giving sacrifices. No one was speaking to them, but God uses them. Ruth and Boaz, last week we talked about their difficulties. Remember, God is adapting, God is working, God is in control, and God has a plan. Are you willing to be part of it? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.